For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, someone said, I've sometimes been told that God is an artist and that we are his paintings. And maybe when we hear that, we all sagely nod and say, yes, with Paul, yes, we are his workmanship. But this someone goes on and says this, well, that's as it may be, but I sometimes think that in my life, at least, God is the kind of artist who hurls a paint pot at the canvas from the other side of the room, and then stands back and says to himself, now that's very interesting, what should we do next? Christian friends, what happens when God's gentle brushstrokes are exchanged for the cannon fire of paint cans? What happens when the beautiful painting that is my life is wrecked by suffering? When it's sort of painted over with the black paint of sickness and calamity and bereavement and disillusionment and persecution, what then? Do I just have to sort of stick it out and wait for glory? You know, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. But what if I can't stick it out? What if my heart is breaking? What if in my weakness I feel I'm just holding on by my fingertips, but I can't hold on any longer? Because it's just been one trouble after another, and I've barely had a moment to catch my breath, and I feel I'm drowning. What then? Well, says Paul, chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in keeping us going in dark times. So, Christian friend, is it a dark time? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Two verses, 3 points. Point number one, when we don't know what to pray. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray. Really? How do children learn to speak? Children listen to their parents, and then they speak their parents' words back to them. So crying becomes baby talk, and then baby talk becomes, Mummy, I'm thirsty. Daddy, I've had a bad dream. Mummy, I love you. Daddy, I'm sorry. Our Father in heaven. So do you see, we learn how to pray by listening to our Heavenly Father. And he speaks to us in his own words, the Bible. And as we listen to those words, as they become part of us, so we learn to speak those words back to him in prayer. Jesus makes it explicit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If, like branches of the vine, we remain in Christ, and his words remain in us, then my prayer life will flow from Christ. My prayer life will imitate the prayer life of the Son of God when he walked this earth. And I find I begin to think Christ-shaped thoughts, and I have Christ-shaped priorities. And I begin to feel Christ-shaped burdens, burdens that I can only ease in prayer. And so with my Christ-shaped, Christ-full prayers, heaven answers the Amen. So we do know what to pray for then, don't we? But, says Paul, there are times when filled with Christ-shaped desires that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Just turn for a moment with me to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians is the most intimate of Paul's letters. He's really bearing his heart. He's writing to this church that he planted, he established. The relations between him and the church are not good. And he really opens his heart to them. And this is what he says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Interesting, isn't it? Paul says, we were afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. In fact, he says in verse 12, so death is at work in us. He says, the Christian life is killing me. But then just for a moment, compare chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 with chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verses 8 and 9. Just look at it. Let's start with chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. This is what he says again. Look, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Okay, but then you read chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. And you get a slightly different angle on things. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So when you look at chapter 4, and Paul saying that we were afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, he's saying that with the benefit of hindsight. But at the time, and chapter 1 reveals what he was really feeling at the time he really did feel as though he'd been crushed. He really was in despair. He really did feel forsaken and destroyed. He says the load became so heavy, I was ready to give up and die. I just wanted to curl up into a ball and wait for death. That was his experience in verse 1. Chapter 4, he's sort of more reflective, isn't he? Saying, well, in hindsight, that might have been how I felt, but with hindsight, that's not quite how it worked out. Do you see the point? Christian friends, if you are a loyal servant of Jesus Christ, don't be surprised when you find the Christian life utterly overwhelming. When you really are struck down. What does that mean? I've been knocked off my feet. And I close my eyes and I wince and I wait for the final thrust of the javelin to finish me off. There are times in the Christian life when I'm just ready to curl up and die. So do we take it all in our stride with a song in our heart? Do you think Paul, when he talks in those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, do you think he sort of adopted a little jaunty walk and a whistle as he went about his way? For we were so utterly burdened beyond strength that we despaired of life itself. You couldn't put it more strongly, could you? So, Christian friends, in the crucible of affliction, there are times when we are overwhelmed and we don't know what to pray. And all we have are sighs and tears and groans. And yes, we can pray, Lord, your will be done. Yes, Lord, you have the glory. But I'm sure if we'd gone to the door of the room where Paul was praying and we pressed our ear against that door, we would have heard Paul weeping, sighing, groaning. That when he got on his knees and started to pray, he simply started to cry. The floodgates opened. And he cried his heart out. After all, this is a man who's not afraid of tears. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Confess I've wept for some of you. Confess I weep for some of you. We're not afraid of tears, are we? So when you begin to go back to what Paul is saying in Romans, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. There are times when we just don't know what to pray. We're so overwhelmed by our circumstances, our situation, and all we have are sighs and tears and groans. After all, a perfect man once fell to his knees, once pressed himself against the earth and prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Luke tells us that in the garden, Jesus was in agony, that his sweat fell as great drops of blood. What does he pray? In his weakness, he doesn't know what to pray. He says, Lord, not the cross, but your will be done. The writer of the Hebrews, commenting on Christ's agony in the garden, says this, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. In the weakness of his flesh, Jesus wept and groaned and he shouted. Loud cries and tears. The Son of God prostrate on the ground, because as he goes to the cross is the ultimate nightmare. Oh, he can bear, it seems, almost anything, but not this. Not to be forsaken by Abba, Father. So what does he pray? He prays, Lord, anything but this. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. So there must be another way. Surely there's another way. There's got to be. Yet your will be done. Faith is not serenity. Christian friends, when we suffer, there are times when we are just overwhelmed. We're caught between two options. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. So point number two. The Spirit helps us. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know how to pray, says Paul, the Spirit, he takes up our cause. The Spirit, he steps in, he intercedes on our behalf, and he intercedes with groanings too deep for words. So what does that mean? Does it mean, as some have said, that we speak to God in tongues? That when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit then gives us our own special prayer language by which we can communicate to God? Well, the answer to that is no. If you're interested to know more, I preached on the gift of tongues back in November 2012. It's on the website, and you can get copies of it if you wish. And we saw there that tongues, far from being some private prayer language, far from being some ecstatic utterance, tongues were known languages previously unknown by the speaker. And anyway, what does it say here? It says groanings too deep for words. So there are no words here. So it's not talking about a private prayer language. What does it mean? Well, does it mean that while I'm going through my trial, the Spirit of God, without my awareness, is speaking directly to the Father for me? That is where, while my head is down, his head is up. That while I'm silent, he's expressing on my behalf wordless groans that I can't express. Is that what it means? Well, again, no. Why would God the Holy Spirit speak directly to God the Father in wordless groans? Wouldn't he speak directly in his own words? After all, he's not the wordless Spirit, is he? He's the author of Scripture. So what does it mean? Well, look at verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So how does God hear these groanings? He hears them by searching our hearts. So the Spirit's intercession is heard and felt as groanings in our hearts. I'm therefore conscious of them. They are my groanings. Well, let's throw some more light on this. You need to keep with it at this point, okay? Let's throw some more light on it. Just look for a moment, chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, I'm using this to illustrate the point. Christian friends, we're sons of God, aren't we? Whether we're male or female, we're all sons because the sons are the heirs. We're all called sons. Okay, we're sons of our Heavenly Father. But that's not just our status. We actually feel like sons, don't we? We actually feel like the children of God. That's why we cry, Abba, Father. We can't stop ourselves. One of the first things a new Christian will do is go directly to Father and start speaking to Father. Because they don't just have the status of a son, they feel like a son. Okay? So who cries, Abba, Father? We do. Who therefore feels that God is their Father? We do. But who moves us to say, Abba, Father? The Spirit of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. See the point? God's spirit is joined to my spirit, but you can't find the join. You can't pull them apart. His spirit is joined to my spirit. I'm in the spirit and the spirit is in me. And because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption, because he is the spirit of Jesus, God's son, he makes me feel like a son too. He makes me cry out in prayer like a son too. Like Jesus, I too cry, Abba, Father. So joined to God's spirit, we feel like God's sons, and we feel like God's sons because we really are God's sons. We've been adopted. Sons by adoption. Okay? So let's try and feed that back into what Paul is saying in these verses to try and understand what he's saying. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay. All those times when Paul didn't know what to pray. All those times when Paul broke down with sighs and tears and groanings. All those times when all Paul could probably say was, Father, Father. It wasn't that Paul had ceased to pray. On the contrary, it was real prayer. The reason he'd run to Abba, Father, the reason he poured out his soul with tears, the reason he wept and groaned in God's presence was because the Spirit, joined to his Spirit, was helping him in his weakness. God's Spirit was joined to his Spirit. The two spirits have become one. And therefore the Spirit's intercession was felt as Paul's groanings. So Paul was groaning, and yet the Spirit was the one who was stirring those very things in him. Groaning for release. Groaning for help. Groaning for a happy outcome. Groaning for God's glory. Groaning for the kingdom when everything will be put right. Groaning for God's country. When everything, this body of death will be no more. I'll be clothed with immortality. I'll be in the presence of the Lord. He'll wipe away every tear. I will be home at last and rest, groaning, longing for those things. And the Father searching Paul's heart and hearing those groans and knowing the mind of the Spirit answers Paul's tears and groans, answers those prayers for Paul's good and God's glory. Which of course is why we read verse 28, we know that all And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, behind my groans, behind my tears, is the Spirit moving in my heart, is the Spirit's intercession. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And the Spirit of God, he can express what I feel, because he's the Spirit of Jesus, who was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Because he's the Spirit of Jesus who offered up prayers and supplications with loud tears and cries. Because he's the Spirit of Jesus who once wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because he's the Spirit of Jesus who once endured the unendurable, the agony of Gethsemane. And therefore he knows exactly what I'm feeling. He understands. He cannot but sympathize with us. And the Father searching my heart, he hears the Spirit's voice behind my tears and groans and sighs, and he answers the Amen. So I don't know what to pray. All I have is tears. But the Spirit is interceding for me. I've gone to Abba Father because the Spirit has brought me to that place. And in my groans, he's interceding as the Father searches my heart. He hears the Spirit's intercession and answers me according to the true will of God and for his glory. And that's why the Spirit of God really is the comforter. Well, maybe you're a bit lost in all this. Think, oh, no. What's he on about? Let's put it like this. Here's a little girl, okay? She's running along, she falls over, she hurts herself. She may just be lying on the ground crying, or she may run to her father. All she can do is cry. And as her father holds her, what does he say to her? Does he say to his little crying toddler, I can't understand what you're saying. Speak English. All you're doing is making a terrible noise and a racket and all these tears. I have no idea what you're saying to me. Is that what he says? No, because though she can't get the words out, her father knows exactly what's wrong, doesn't he? He knows exactly what the problem is, and he holds her and comforts her. Yeah? So, brothers and sisters, when we hurt ourselves, it's the Spirit who makes us run to Abba Father. And yes, those tears and groans are mine. And yet in another sense, they are the tears and groans of the Spirit of Jesus, who once wept before his Father in Gethsemane. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And he comforts us. Let's take another example. Here's a teenage girl. She's been dumped by her boyfriend. She's heartbroken. And when her father opens the door, she just runs into his arms and cries on his shoulder. And if her father asks her, well, what's wrong? It's all she can do just to get out her boyfriend's name. And she sort of half gets his name out, and then she bursts into tears all over again. And when dad asks, well, what do you want me to do? Well, she doesn't know what she wants dad to do. There's part of her which says, I want us to go to Australia. There's part of her which says, I want you to go around and thump my boyfriend. And there's part of her which says, I want you to go and plead with my boyfriend to come back. She doesn't know what she wants. Now, there are no words, are there? Between father and daughter. No words, but they're communicating. She knows she's understood. She knows she's being comforted, and he knows exactly what the problem is. They're communicating. So there may only be groans and tears, but dad knows what she's saying. You're getting the point. Do you see? The Spirit, he makes me run to Father. I've got no words. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed by my situation. All I have are groans and tears. But because God's Spirit is united to my spirit, he expresses himself in those groans. And he can, because he's the Spirit of Jesus. The Jesus who once sobbed on his father's shoulder in Gethsemane. And the Father who searches hearts, he hears my wordless prayer. He hears the Spirit's intercession. He knows exactly what the situation is. He understands completely. He knows what I need. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And God comforts and God answers the Amen. So we close point number three. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Christian friend, this morning, has that beautiful painting which is your life, has it been wrecked? Has paint been thrown over it with such violence and actually randomness that it makes no sense? And all those beautiful colours and delicate brush strokes, well, it's just been painted out with black paint. And in your weakness, you don't know what to do. And if a stranger asks you, how are you? You say, oh, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? But someone who knows you, someone who's close to you, they say, how are you? Well, you just got no words. A friend of mine wrote, I can't stop crying. We have those times, don't we? We just can't stop crying. And sometimes we've cried all our tears. We've run out of tears. And all we have left are sighs and groans. Christian friend, is that you? Sickness. Grief. Calamity. Oh, just one trouble after another. Maybe there have been hard disappointments. Maybe children who break our hearts. Or maybe childlessness, singleness, nightmares. Can't bear to face the future. You're afraid of the future. And there are worries and loneliness and pain and depression and temptations which are shaking you. And maybe it's shame. It's been such a fall, you think, I can't believe it was me. I can't believe what I've done. And maybe you feel so lost and crushed and despairing, and maybe you feel even forsaken. Maybe you're despairing of even life itself. At that time when Paul wrote and said, I just wanted to curl up and die. Maybe that's where you are. You just want to curl up and die. You want the end to come. You want the pain to stop. You want to go home to glory. I don't want to go on living these days. And you don't know what to do. And yes, pray, of course, absolutely. But maybe you feel you can't pray. You don't know what to pray. Maybe you just cry. Do you want the pain to stop? Do you want to feel happy again? And you want the Lord. You want him to be near. But I don't know what to say. And you wonder, will I ever get out of this? Will I ever get home to glory? And Paul says into that situation, don't lose heart completely. Help is here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, he's with you. He's in you. Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. When you don't know what to pray, he's praying for you. He knows what to say, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. If you have no words, it doesn't matter. Just run to Abba Father. Cry your tears on his shoulder. And if you've lost the quiet from your spirit, the Holy Spirit is with you, expressing himself in those groans and tears. And your heavenly Father, who searches the heart, he's hearing you loud and clear. He understands. He knows. And therefore your wordless prayer will be answered. And it will be answered wonderfully. That's why Paul says, we know that for those who love God, all things, even this, work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is the Spirit of Jesus. We thank you as Jesus are the self. And we thank you that he's called the Comforter. Lord, we know that there are times when we are consoled and the despair, the volume is turned down and we find the despair is just becomes bearable. We've been consoled. But we haven't been comforted. Our heads are still down. We think of the Comforter lifts up our head and brings to our soul hope and that sense that we have been heard and that you are near and that we haven't been forgotten and the end of this will be for our good and your glory. Oh, Father God, this morning we pray that we might know in a wonderful and real and felt way the ministry of the Holy Spirit in interceding for us, the ministry of the Holy Spirit as our Comforter, because this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.